Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Public Health Cares. I'm your host, Dan Suffoletto, Public Information Manager. And today we will hear from Rochelle Fabroda, the Project Manager of Public Health's LGBTQ Plus Health Initiatives Program. Thanks for being with us today, Rochelle.
Hey, Dan. Thank you. It's always good to hang out. I appreciate that plus, too. Nice job. I love it.
Hey, we do what we can. Speaking of that, can you tell us why there's a need for public health here to even have the LGBTQ plus health initiative program in the first place?
Yeah, sure. You know, it's interesting because this is one of those jobs that honestly I wish didn't exist. But since it does and I have it, what we do with regard to health initiatives for marginalized identities such as lesbians, gays, bisexuals, transgender, non-binary, gender fluid, intersex folks, that's kind of what the plus is about. We want to be inclusive. Why we have a position that works with these health initiative programs is because historically, these letters are marginalized identities, meaning that healthcare access for one reason or another is just really difficult or impossible to access or to acquire. And let's just say some of these folks go and get healthcare access. You never know who you're dealing with, and that person may have some preconceived notions or beliefs about who this person is, who this lesbian is, who this transgender person is, and may not give service or quality service or helpful service. So basically, Dan, what I'm referring to is a couple of theories. One in particular that I know we subscribe to in public health is called the social determinants of health. And what we need to do, what my job does specifically, is both internally to public health and then externally in the community, I'm responsible for trying to get equity regarding healthcare services. Mm-hmm. So really wanting to reduce the number of health disparities for folks who identify as not heterosexual or not cisgender.
Right. And I think one of the key points to the whole process that you're doing is, yes, the LGBTQ plus individuals probably experience and realize the barriers that they're having. So yes, we want to help them with that. But it's also additionally important to point those barriers out to others who may not even know they're existing, so that if they're providing healthcare to individuals or they're trying to help these individuals in any way, they know of some of the historical barriers and they can help overcome those barriers.
Yeah, that's perfect, Dan. And let me just say, there's no probably about it. People who are discriminated against know that they are discriminated against. And
right,
so much data. So definitely. And I think you bring up a fantastic point. The point that I work from is that I don't believe there are people out there trying to discriminate on purpose. I'm going to approach everybody as a, well, you know, I just didn't have this information yet, or I didn't realize. And it can be just as simple as somebody showing up in a healthcare setting and they've got a little rainbow flag sticker on their name tag for somebody who is of LGBTQ plus community to go, oh, okay, they've got this little symbol. I'm feeling better. I'm going to let them know I this is what's going on with me and I need this kind of support. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, a lot of education in this position.
Right. Education is really the key here for everybody so they can understand and learn and help contribute to the solutions. So with that, you have a lot of activities that you're doing in the Health Initiatives program. Can you give the listeners a little bit of an idea of some of the things that you're working on?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, everybody's got a calendar, January through December. So one of the things we pay attention to, not only in my role, but my colleagues here, you in particular, Dan, at Public Health, we pay attention to different activities in different months that feature or encourage or include LGBTQ folks. So I make a little joke, Dan, and I talk about how June is so gay, and I am so exhausted by the end of June, because most people recognize that, you know, Stonewall happened in June, and one of the results of Stonewall is signifying pride celebrations throughout, well, not just the United States, but the world, to say, hey, look, you know, let's celebrate this unique and inclusive space of community that we live in. So we pay attention to the calendar. Transgender Day of Remembrance is on that calendar. And then also we combine with other marginalized identities or situations where we know that LGBTQ plus people are often higher in numbers. For example, for the last 2 years, we've participated in the suicide walk that our community friends here in Dayton sponsor. We not only actually walk, we have a table, and we want to make sure we have information available to help people know that if they're feeling as if they want to attempt or perhaps complete suicide, that no, look, you've got a lot of friends, you've got a lot of voices, a lot of ears that are paying attention. So those are a couple of things, Dan. And I mean, we're always picking up something. Within public health, we have a Bill of Rights in all of our clinics that allows people not only who are coming in who may or may not be LGBTQ plus the opportunity to understand, hey, when you're seeking services from us, this is what you can expect. But it certainly cues people who are Q plus to say, oh, gosh, they got my back. They know that I'm here and I appreciate that. Mm-hmm.
When you mentioned suicide, that made me think maybe we should outline a couple of instances where poor health outcomes are especially greater in the LGBTQ plus community. We know suicide or attempted suicide is one of those, correct?
Yes, correct.
And then smoking, I believe another one, that's there's a high instance of smoking as well.
Sure.
So all of those types of things are what your program is trying to ultimately reduce. You know, we're talking about the overall health of individuals in every way. So as many ways as we can help people stay healthy, that's what we're here about here at Public Health Dayton and Montgomery County. So the next thing I want to ask you about is another program you designed and are delivering, the only middle and high school aged LGBTQ plus youth focused program. So can you tell us a little bit about Visible and Resilient in the Community and Self and what that program is all about?
I sure can. But Dan, let's agree. If we don't want to say LGBTQ plus, we can just say Q plus. It's a lot of letters. So, and I say that in the most inclusive and supportive way. So Q plus. Yeah, it was, end of 2018, beginning in 2019, I was working with our colleagues at the Alcohol, Drug Abuse, Mental Health Services Board, ADAMIS Board, and we were talking about how prevention curriculum, like you mentioned, things that will help reduce or prevent smoking, curriculum that encourages young people in particular to seek help if they're feeling some sort of physical and emotional pain. Those curriculum aren't written to include Q plus youth. So it was a fantastic conversation. And what came out of that is two things. One is I wrote a curriculum that is called Visible and Resilient in Community and Self. It's six lesson plans that help students in 7th through 12th grade take a look at what is identity, what are healthy relationships, how do I communicate effectively? And people, it is inclusive of LGBTQ youth. And I won't take up much time here to talk about that in particular, but that would be a great episode, Dan, is if we talked about what does it mean to be inclusive in a classroom, or what does it mean to be inclusive in a corporation or an office space? So there's a cue for a next show. But Visible and Resilient, the curriculum then needed to be delivered. And what I already knew was going to happen is even if the curriculum wasn't accepted to be delivered in a particular school, there are always groups of youth who are supported by teachers and social workers, counselors, staff, administrators, janitors that have a moment where they can gather in community. Sometimes these groups, when thinking of Q plus kids, are called GSAs or Gay Straight Alliances. Sometimes they're called diversity groups. So in short, what Visible and Resilient does is supports LGBTQ youth and adults who are working with youth, not only in schools, but also in community. So Visible and Resilient is also intergenerational. We work with folks as young as 7th grade. And then, well, let's just suffice to say I'm in my 50s. And we have a full-time staff in her late 30s. another contractor in his early 30s. We have a couple of 20-year-olds. So we've made a point of informing this program that works to reduce the beginning of or prevent the use of those things that cause those great statistics with health disparities. And not only is it multi-generational, but it's youth-led. I'm pretty proud of that. I'm pretty proud of using voices that know what they're experiencing in the bigger concern, again, of helping folks stay healthy. That was a long explanation.
Right, again. Right. Well, that's great. And that leads me to my next question is, we may have listeners joining us here on Public Health Cares and wondering, you know, what can I do? How can I make a difference? How can I get involved? And there's one thing in the health care realm that is called the Health Equality Index, and it's part of the Human Rights Campaign. And public health has recently been renamed a leader in that program. It's a certain designation. So can you tell us a little bit about that and what that means?
Yeah. Oh, Dan, I'm pretty proud of that, by the way. I know there's only a couple public health departments in Ohio that have achieved our status, the status. And frankly, this Health Equality Index isn't necessarily geared towards public health departments, but more emergency clinics, hospital-based services. So for us to achieve 100% in both of the times we've applied, well, that's the source of pride. So what essentially we're doing to earn that rating and that designation is making sure that our services within our organization, all parts of public health, are mindful of and inclusive of Q plus people. And, you know, there's also this thing too, Dan, we say Q plus people, but we have Q plus families. So even if somebody shows up, a mom shows up, she may not be Q plus, but her child or her adult child might be Q plus. So within public health, we want to make sure that all of our services that we provide are mindful and inclusive of Q plus people. That includes forms that we use. That includes, I mentioned, the Bill of Rights that hang in our clinics, the LGBTQ plus Bill of Rights. And then also what it tells folks, I think, in our community is not only are we paying attention and we're minding our own store with being available to a marginalized identity such as Q plus people, but also it tells the public that we care. We walk the walk. We are concerned about public health, and we're concerned about everyone's public health.
Right. And, you know, it includes training specifically for staff as well to help them understand issues that may be there and may arise, and let them provide the best quality service to those individuals, you know, whether it be our WIC program or our addiction services program or whatever, our clinic, whatever program it may be, that we're here to help you, and you can come to us for help. And we do have, I'll do a little bit of a plug. We do have a phone line you can call, 225-5700, that, you know, we can help put you in touch with other organizations as well. So even if public health doesn't have the direct service, if you're looking for something, you know, we can try to connect you with that service. Also, you can always visit our website at any time at phdmc.org to keep up to date with information and see all of our programs. You can see much, much more about what Rochelle has going on there. A lot of information. And then also don't forget to follow us on social media at Public Health DMC. That's our handle, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. A lot of great stuff on there as well. So another thing that public health is involved in, is actually one of the leaders of, is the, I'm going to say it again, LGBTQ plus Health Alliance. So it's an alliance. And who are the members of this alliance, and what type of work are you involved in with the alliance?
Yeah, this is also another exciting part of my job that takes me outside of our services at public health. And so at this point, we have 83 different members of our Q Plus Health Alliance, and they are representing, I think last count was 49 different organizations. And when I say different organizations, I'm thinking about the Greater Miami Valley. I'm thinking about, you know, universities. I'm thinking about all the insurance companies. I'm thinking about medical providers, schools. We have historically LGBTQ plus groups, like the LGBT Center is part of the alliance, Equitas, who provides services to folks in the LGBTQ plus community as well. But we also have organizations that are into mindfulness and health and wellness, the YDUB, YWCA. We have retired clergy. I think you're getting the vibe. We have pharmacists.
Right.
We have our people in the arts community. So the point of the alliance is to take all these different professions or areas of life where people can go and get services or deliver services. And we meet up to talk about what is health and well-being, what is supportive of folks in the Q plus community, either in your workplace, like perhaps people will come to a meeting and share what their employee resource group is doing, or what can we all work together to deliver to the community? For example, Dan, we had our first community day of support. And of course, we're creative. So community is spelled Q plus O-M-M-U-N-I-T-Y, right? Community. Right. And essentially, the entire alliance got together for a day. We invited other friends, family members, colleagues, and we had 4 hours of discussion and a great lunch and just kind of a centering and understanding that we're all working towards wellness and well-being. We do that by engaging and educating. And then we always want to attend to the lifespan. I mean, it's sometimes people think, oh, well, you know, when you're in seventh grade or when you're 18 or when you're 32, you all of a sudden just come out and you declare your orientation or your identity. Well, I mean, that can be people's experiences, but being LGBTQ plus is a lifespan identity. So we want to make sure we're paying attention to our elders, our seniors, our young people, again, in school, and all the folks in the middle. I think that's us. We're in the middle, Dan. So we want to make sure that Q plus folks are getting what they need throughout the lifespan.
Okay, very good. And, you know, as part of all this, you have various presentations and educations you can do in the community to groups, schools, organizations. What are some of the things? I know you pretty much probably everything we already talked about, but can you tell us a little bit about your presentations in the community?
Sure. I think the most popular request, and I'm thinking about over just in the last 2 weeks, I've had an aging organization, organization that works to provide services to seniors in their homes, folks with disabilities in their homes. They reached out. A couple of group homes where young people stay reached out and they want to know about the terms. You know, we're kind of joking about this LGBTQ plus, and I'm saying Q plus, but sometimes people just really aren't clear on, you know, what is that L about again? Or I'll tell you, gender seems to be a really relevant and important topic these days. We know if you pay attention to the news, you know that our Ohio School Board is considering Title IX. And how does gender play out in schools? What does that mean for students? And so currently there's a lot of pending legislation, some resolutions, national discussion around transgender youth in sports. So I bring that up because I think people aren't exactly clear. And that, again, is, I think, the most popular presentation that people ask. I think people also want to understand how to be supportive. So we talk about these things like the Bill of Rights, and I mentioned, you know, you can have a rainbow sticker on your name tag. So what are some ways without necessarily directly approaching someone and say, you know, if you're gay, I got your back. How do we work to allow a space to feel as safe as possible for folks? That's another really popular presentation. What can my organization do to be inclusive, to be affirming? Yeah, that's right, just a good few, Dan.
So if someone, that being said, if someone's interested in contacting you to have you come out, what, how can they get in touch with you?
Oh, thanks so much. Here's my phone number. It's 937-224-3727. You've already mentioned our website, phdmc.org, and that is the last part of my email. My email address is my R for the first letter of my name, Rochelle, and then Frabota for my last name, R-F-R-A-B, as in boy, O-T-T-A at phdmc.org. It's my job to know a lot of people. So sometimes people will say, hey, you know that lady with purple hair? And then people find me. So I do my best, Dan, to get out and about. And it's not too hard. Right. So, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. This has been a great conversation. And everybody hopefully has a better understanding of your program. This has been Public Health Cares. And I'm your host, Dan Suffoletto, Public Information Manager for Public Health Dayton and Montgomery County. And we want to thank Rochelle Frabota, the Project Manager of Public Health's LGBTQ plus Health Initiatives Program, for joining us today. Until next time, stay healthy.